our scripture passage for this morning, I chose select verses from Acts chapter 18. So listen now for God's holy word. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. Every Sabbath, he would argue in the synagogue and would try to convince Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with proclaiming the word, testifying to the Jews that the Messiah was Jesus. When they opposed and reviled him, in protest, Paul shook the dust from his clothes and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then he left the synagogue and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue, and Cyprus, the official of the synagogue, became a believer in the Lord, together with all of his household. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul became believers and were baptized. One night the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you to harm you, for there are many in this city who are my people." Paul stayed there for a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning, series, we are trusting that God will speak to us as we look at the different members of the Trinity, God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the content of the New Testament book of Acts. The book of Acts is a particularly rich source of information for us on God in these different members of the Trinity. The author of the book of Acts explicitly introduces his book as the continuation of the story of Jesus, a story which began back in the Gospels. The book of Acts is also the continuation of the larger story of Scripture, the story of God, the Creator who is working to redeem and repair this beloved and yet fallen world. Acts is the continuation of the story of God who called Abraham and Sarah, God who rescued the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt, God who made covenant relationships with Israel and with King David, the God who spoke through the prophets, and God who Jesus invites us to call our Heavenly Father. And of course, the book of Acts is about the Holy Spirit. In my mind, Acts is the place that we turn when we want to focus on and learn about and think about the Holy Spirit. So for this first sermon in the series, our focus falls on Jesus. And in particular, what we can see Jesus actively saying and doing in the book of Acts. Virtually every year, we read the story of Jesus' ascension at the beginning of the book of Acts. In that story, Jesus ascends. He goes into heaven. He leaves this realm of existence and enters the divine realm. We read that story every year at Ascension Sunday, but rarely do we take time to study with any dedication what else Jesus might be doing or saying in the rest of the book of Acts. What happens to Jesus after his ascension? Is he simply gone and absent from the rest of the story? Does Jesus do anything else in the book? Or does Jesus simply ascend in chapter 1 and then leave God's work on earth to the Holy Spirit and to us, God's people here on earth? Those are some of the questions that guided my studies this week, and here is just some of what I found. Throughout the book of Acts, after the ascension, it is assumed that Jesus is in heaven. That's what we are told in Acts chapter 1, after Jesus is taken away from the disciples and he disappears into the clouds. After that happens, two angelic figures come to the disciples and they make it explicit that Jesus has gone into heaven. They say that. They also explain that Jesus will return from heaven in the same manner in which he left. And so from the beginning of the book of Acts, we understand that Jesus is in heaven, but that he also will return. And then we actually get to see Jesus in heaven later in the narrative of the book of Acts itself. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is being stoned to death, we are told that as he is being stoned to death, the heavens are opened up, and Stephen sees the glory of God and Jesus standing at God's side. This passage in Acts chapter 7 paints a fascinating portrait of two members of the Trinity. Stephen looks up into heaven and sees the glory of God. God, who in the Old Testament is often obscured from view by what is described as a cloud of glory. So Stephen sees God's glory in heaven, and there at God's side is the risen, ascended, and glorified Christ Jesus. Two figures, distinct, and yet closely sharing the space of heaven. In answer to the question of where is Jesus according to the book of Acts? The answer is that Jesus is in heaven at God's right hand. The Apostle Peter also affirms this point of view in Acts chapter 3, verse 21. In that one verse, Peter acknowledges that Jesus is in heaven, but Peter also speaks about the hope that one day Jesus will return. In that passage, Peter is speaking to the people of Jerusalem. He's giving his first sermon on Pentecost. And Peter explains that Jesus has gone into heaven, but one day he will be sent back. He will be sent back. Peter says that Jesus will remain in heaven until, and I quote, "the time comes for the universal restoration that God announced long ago through God's holy prophets." Wow. Here is a belief in the book of Acts on which we rarely take focus. For the author of the book of Acts, Jesus went up into heaven. He is there at the right hand of God the Father, and the author of the book of Acts understands and believes that Jesus will remain there in heaven until the time comes for God's promised universal restoration of creation. The universal restoration is the hope of the scriptures. It is the hope of God's people that this world, which has fallen into a situation of chaos and trouble, of sin and evil and brokenness, of sorrows and despairs, this world is not destined for endless wickedness, destruction, and condemnation, but because of God's love for this world, God will one day bring about the universal restoration of this God's beloved creation. This hope for restoration is preached and proclaimed throughout the scriptures. And so too here in the book of Acts, the hope of God's plans to heal and restore this world are given expression in Peter's sermon, and they are tied explicitly to Jesus and to his return from heaven. So to summarize what we know so far, in the book of Acts, Jesus ascends. He leaves this sphere of existence and he enters God's heavenly realm. That is where Jesus is, and it is where the book of Acts understands that Jesus will remain until the time comes for his return, and with his return will come the long-promised conclusion of God's plans for all things. As we read further and deeper into the book of Acts, we can see the fascinating reality that while Jesus is in heaven, Jesus is still able to show up and to speak to his servants in this world. As Jesus' followers engage in their calling to witness and preach and heal and bring salvation in Jesus' name, at times in the book of Acts, we see Jesus showing up in powerful, amazing, surprising, unexpected ways to direct and comfort his earthly servants. In Acts chapter 9, for example, Jesus shows up on the road to Damascus in a flash of blinding light to redirect Saul, who is later renamed Paul. Jesus, who is in heaven, but apparently not confined to heaven, he knocks Paul off the road to Damascus, and Jesus speaks with him. During that encounter, Paul does not see Jesus. We are only told of a blinding light. But Paul clearly hears Jesus' voice, and Paul clearly speaks with the glorified and ascended Jesus. Jesus is able to show up on the road to Damascus, in this case to interrupt Paul's plans, to stop him in his tracks, and to send him in a new and a better direction. Jesus is in heaven, but God reminds us here in the book of Acts that when we need to be redirected in these our lives, Jesus can show up on the journeys of our lives to knock us off the road if we need it, to turn us around, and to send us in a better direction. In Acts chapter 22, Paul recounts another encounter he has with Jesus after his encounter on the road to Damascus. In Acts chapter 22, Paul explains that later, after that experience on the road to Damascus, Paul had gone to Jerusalem. So he's in Jerusalem, and Paul tells us that he went to the temple. He went to the sanctuary where he would go to worship and praise and pray to God. And there, Paul was in the temple praying. And while he was praying and meditating, Paul reports that he fell into a trance and he saw a vision. And in that vision, Jesus appeared to him and gave him further direction and further instructions for his calling and his mission to serve God in this world. The instructions that Jesus gave to him in this vision trance were that Paul should leave Jerusalem, to leave that center of religious life, and to go out where God would send him to be an apostle to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people of this world. My friends, what Paul reports in Acts chapter 22 is a really wild and wonderful story. Not only did Jesus show up to knock Paul off the road to Damascus, but Jesus shows up again in Paul's journey, this time in a vision in the temple, to give Paul clear and decisive direction. Paul was in the temple. He was praying. He was taking time to try to connect with God, to reach out to God. And in that moment, God was not still or silent. As Paul prayed, Jesus, who was in heaven, showed up in a vision to give Paul direction for the calling and the good work that lay before him. Paul followed Jesus' calling. He left Jerusalem. He made friends with other leaders of the Jesus movement. He went out on missionary expeditions with Barnabas and John Mark and Silas and others. In Acts chapter 13 and following, you can read all about Paul's missionary expeditions. And they are wild and interesting stories. And the broadest thing that I can say about those stories is that as Paul followed Jesus' calling for his life, Paul experienced successes and setbacks. At times, people listened to what Paul had to say about Jesus and the kingdom of God and salvation and repentance and forgiveness. And just as often, Paul experienced rejection and opposition. He was the target of false accusations and serious and dangerous persecutions. All along the way, Paul made wonderful friends. He changed people's lives. He baptized new believers. He organized churches. And all along the way, he made enemies and constantly had to run for his life. In the midst of all of these successes and setbacks, it is from the midst of all of these successes and setbacks that I chose our passage for this morning from Acts chapter 18. In that passage, Paul, we are told, is in the city of Corinth. He has made friends there. He has preached the good news. He has incorporated new believers into the church, and he's also been rejected and threatened. Then one night, in the midst of all of those ups and downs of ministry and service, successes and setbacks, one night, we are told, one nondescript evening, we're not told that Paul was praying in the temple this time. It's not some high or holy holiday. We are told that it was just one evening, just some average evening in the midst of a life of service to Jesus. One evening, Jesus again shows up in Paul's experience. One night, Acts tells us, the Lord Jesus said to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will lay a hand on you to harm you, for there are many in this city who are my people." This, my friends, is the nature of the presentation of Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, in the book of Acts. Jesus, we understand, is in heaven. He is standing at the right hand of God in glory. And according to God's plans, Jesus will remain, and when he does return, he will initiate the conclusion of God's plans for all of us and for all of God's beloved creation. But in the meantime, God, through the book of Acts, encourages us to understand and believe that as we live out our calling to serve Jesus in this world, when Jesus needs to, when we need it, Jesus can and will show up in our experience, the experience of us, God's people, to give us what we need, to give us direction on the road of life, to give us encouragement, to give us a word of peace, to remind us that he is with us and he always will be. So that is where I will wrap up this first sermon on the topic of the Trinity in the book of Acts. Jesus is in heaven, and yet he's able to show up in different, powerful, and surprising ways when we need him most. Next week, my initial plan was to move to another member of the Trinity in the book of Acts. But after preparing for this sermon, my plans have changed. What I found, which will not be too shocking or surprising, is that there's just too much to say about Jesus in the book of Acts to move on from him, from that topic. So this week we focused on Jesus himself, where he is and what he does in the book of Acts. But to talk about Jesus in the book of Acts, we can't just focus on what Jesus does and says. What I have found is that we must also focus on what is done and said in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So that will be our focus next week. We will explore the theme of the name of Jesus in the book of Acts. Until then, as we continue to study and explore, may God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, and may God bless us and prosper us as we study God's word. Thanks be to God. Amen.